Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
I'm April Vokey, and you are listening to Anchored, my chance to speak with some of the most influential people involved in the outdoors today. Join me as I sit down with my guests to learn more about their careers, opinions, history, relationships, and life both indoors and out. In this episode of Anchored, I had the pleasure of hosting Lucy Bowden, the visionary founder of Fishing for Everyone, established in 2005. Hailing from Britain, Lucy is not just an angling coach, but a passionate angler who discovered her love for the sport at the tender age of 5. What sets Lucy apart is her unwavering belief that fishing should be accessible to everyone, regardless of age, race, gender, or ability. Her dedication to breaking down barriers and encouraging inclusivity within the angling community is truly inspiring. As a prominent female angler, Lucy has become a beacon for women in the sport, motivating countless individuals to take up fishing. Her founding principle was simple yet profound: to provide everyone with the opportunity to experience the joy of fishing in a safe and supportive environment. Today, we discuss Lucy's remarkable journey, making silly decisions in her 20s, fishing private land, coaching, stillwater fishing in the UK, and the empowering ethos behind Fishing for Everyone. I'd like to take a moment to highlight Skip Morris's latest publication, Top 12 Nymphs for Trout Streams: How, When, and Where to Fish Them. This exceptional book delves into the realms of fly fishing and fly tying, guiding readers through 12 outstanding nymph flies and offering insights on how to effectively catch trout in creeks, streams, and rivers. Each nymph is accompanied by a vivid color photograph, with Skip Morris providing detailed information on its imitation, purpose, and behavior. Morris doesn't just stop there. He shares invaluable tips on how to fish each fly efficiently, including the optimal depth, the best times for fishing, and various proven fishing methods. The book also includes a section to aid in selecting the right fly for specific conditions and choosing the most effective method for presenting it to trout. For both novices and seasoned pros navigating the intricate world of trout flies, Skip Morris's expert guidance simplifies the process. This book not only informs, but also entertains, making it a must-read for anyone passionate about fly fishing. To explore and enhance your fly fishing experience, consider checking out the book through the purchase link in this episode. Or simply Google Top 12 Nymphs for Trout Streams by Skip Morris. You can go to his website at skipmorris-flytying.com.
Can I leave the meeting now? Can I just click leave? Because I'd like to just be now. God.
I feel like we have so much to catch up on. Because I was looking at, I was thinking about it. Do you remember when we first met?
You and I, correct me if I'm wrong, because you and I have known each other forever. I feel like we've known each other forever.
It feels like it's been damn near 20 years.
Yes. Well, I think it is 20 years, right? Or close to 20 years.
Can't be far off at this point.
Yes. If I remember rightly, I started up in the UK and I reached out to you because you were doing amazing things for women in fishing in Canada. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Tell me the whole story. So tell me your whole story.
No, how did it start? Crikey. My dad loved fishing. His granda loved fishing before him. His dad didn't fish. My dad's dad did not fish, wasn't interested, but his granda used to take him. And then I was about five and dad would take my sister and I, you know, fishing what we would call for minnows, so small fish with nets in the local river. And then sort of we slowly progressed to trout. And my sister wasn't all that interested, bless her. April's my sister. Good name.
She must be amazing.
She is. She's fabulous, just like you. It's a good name. It's a nice name. And I just went out with dad, absolutely loved it. And I kind of want to say the rest is history, but obviously the rest is not history. There's so much we could cover, April. But, you know, I'm not, this sounds really, and I think you're a bit like this, but I'm not that good at talking about myself at all. So I'm better if you, like, just ask me stuff and I'll try and answer. Do you know what I mean?
I have so many questions for you.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's taken us this long to do this podcast is ridiculous in many ways.
I know, because I so badly wanted to do it in person. And then all the trade shows just get so busy. And then after COVID, it was like, all right, let's just pull out the microphones and do it this way. So we've got you here because you're obviously in the UK right now. So what part of England are you in?
Yes. So I am in Northumberland in England. So if you imagine Scotland's there and you're going down the East Coast, I'm like the next county down. So the border is here. I'm in England. So I'm like the furthest county north before you get to Scotland. Does that make sense?
Is that why your accent has a little bit of Scot in it?
Yes, it does. Yes, there's a twang in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
There is a twang. Just a slight one, but you guys always pick it up. And I remember in all the American trade shows we used to do, the Americans, I know you're not American, but the Americans / Canadians would always pick up the Scottish twang. But yes, that's where I'm located. So it's beautiful. Northumberland's really pretty. It's a nice place to live.
But so
really
you were born and raised there as well, and you're still there? You've stayed there?
Yes. Okay. So I live about 20 miles south of where I was born and where my family live. So we're all very close, which is nice. And I work currently now for a company based in London. But I work from home, April. So this is my office space. This is literally where I spend my life. Monday to Friday. So yes, but I'm close to family. It's important. And it's lovely. I know you travel here, there and everywhere. But I'm very much sort of home based.
Oh, if I had it my way, I would also be home based. Love has pulled me away from home. But anyway, we'll see where we land.
And you never know what the future will bring.
And you have found love. And then all of a sudden, your coworker, whom I have so many questions for you. So let's just go back to the beginning. So you love
fishing. Because it's lovely, because you know Howard. And he did say to say hello.
Hello,
so
Howard.
It's lovely. He's fly tying.
I can't believe you guys are married. I mean, one minute you guys are working together. And then the next I saw you guys on social media together and I thought, are they?
That is hilarious.
Is that? And then you're married. So we'll get through all of this because
of course
you're one big fishing family. So you love
absolutely.
Fishing. How was high school for you? Were you fishing throughout high school? Did you kind of go through a phase? What happened there?
No, I fished. So I started, say, age five, started going what I've called more serious fishing with dad. April stopped coming with us and I just loved it. And I think the main thing that I always remember, April, is dad had a really stressful job. And I remember, like, during school days, he would come back from a day's fishing with his mates, his friends, and he was just totally relaxed. He was just, I don't want to say a different person. I don't mean that. But you could just see from Monday to Friday being quite stressed at work. He would come back at the end of the day, Saturday or Sunday, a lot. And I just thought, you know what? I want to do a bit more of that. So I started going with him. School for me was, I really enjoyed school. I always fished throughout school. My friends thought it was hilarious that I fish, like for a girl specifically, it's not a thing, especially over here in the UK, right? You know that from your traveling, you know, UK ladies, certainly in those days, it wasn't a thing. And they used to take the mick out of me, but I just let it go, which was fine. And then they all went off to university and I didn't go. I decided not to go. And that's when I set up Fishing for Everyone, which is when I contacted you.
Right. That's right. It's coming back to me.
I would have been about 17. You're talking nearly 20 years.
Yeah, it was all new. And so what, because that's right, you did, you reached out and you said, I've got fishing for everybody. Was it everyone or everybody?
Everyone.
And I was like,
and you were like a massive role model. You were, you still are, but you were. And I reached out and you came back straight away. You did. And I was setting up Fishing for Everyone to get more ladies into fishing over here, really in the UK, which feels so long ago, but then it also feels like yesterday as well. Yeah. And then I guess, what did I do? I became an angling coach. That was the next step, which was a big step forward. I set up a ladies fishing club as well, which was the first one over like in the UK, just for pleasure. We didn't do anything competitive. I am not competitive. And as you know, April, being married to Howard Croston, there's only one competition angler in this family. We don't need two. There would be a divorce if there was two. And then what did I do? Yeah, and then I just basically entered the fishing tackle trade. And it's where I am now. Like, my whole life has been fishing. A bit like yours.
You don't get to cover all of that in 5 seconds.
I know, do you like that? I know, I'm just not great at talking about myself. But it's fine, because you'll delve back into it. I know you will.
I'm a nosy, nosy, picky. I'm going to prod through it all. So, fishing for everyone, what was the, at that point, was that going to be your income, had you decided? Or were you working in another job on the side?
I had not decided. I just set up this website and wanted to get more ladies in the sport, started reaching out to people like yourself, you know, trying to understand how you did it and what I could do to try and get more ladies mainly, April, into fishing. And then I took a job at Orvis. So I was running, do you remember that? You'll remember this. I was running Fishing for Everyone and I took a position as a sales assistant at Orvis based in Kelso, which are in Scotland, so Scottish borders. So I would work there and I would do Fishing for Everyone on the side. And I really enjoyed it. It was great because we set up a brand new store in the Scottish borders and it was just wonderful. It was on the banks of the River Tweed and it's not there anymore, sadly, but it was pretty cool at the time. Loved it. Loved the team. And then I was only there 6 months and then I was headhunted to join Hardy's. So you know Hardy, Hardy and Gray's it was called at the time. And I joined them in the PR department, so marketing and PR. And I actually ended up staying there 10 years, so just under, I think it was like 2 weeks or 3 weeks short of 10 years. So it was a good stint. And that's when you and I met, because I did a lot of traveling then, the trade shows, US, because you and I met in Orlando, didn't we? That's where we met.
In person, finally.
I think. Yes, in person.
Yeah, because it took, I feel, we'd known each other for years before then, but not in person.
Yeah.
So it was finally happening. But that's right, because I remember when you first started at Hardy, because I had also at one point had a bit of a relationship with Hardy.
Yes, you did.
Are they no longer with Grace?
Yes. So Hardy and Gray's are now part of the Pure Fishing Company.
Oh, I remember that too.
Yeah. So they're still going. They still exist. It's just they obviously are owned by Pure Fishing now, which is an American company.
Right.
So I stayed there 10 years. And your relationship, I think, was sort of around, I think, after I, oh, you know what, April, I can't even remember. It's so much has happened. I can't quite remember.
It's been quite a few years. When I saw you at the show, that photo, was I with them then? I don't think so.
But I think I was just already, so excited to see you. I was like, at last we get to meet. Right?
But I think I'd already had my stint with them at that point.
Oh, had you?
I think so. It was pretty short-lived. You and I remember being a little put off by the whole Pure Fishing thing.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't, there's no drama behind it. I think I recall being a little bit unsure about moving forward, how I felt about it not being, you know, Hardy. I loved the whole, and that's right, because at that time I was still
the family run. Was it family run? So it would have been before the show.
And I had loved, I had done Shorelines. I filmed Shorelines in 2014. Aww. And in 2014, obviously Hardy was a big feature in our series. And we'd all kind of blends together. But did you ever fish for carp once upon a time?
Yes.
Okay, you are the one who put it on my radar. So it was your photo. And I remember you were holding this big,
huge
glass carp or something like that.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I have never seen a fish like that in my life. What is this girl holding? Why is she holding that? What is it? And you put carp on my radar, and I blame you because people judge me down here. Everybody judges me for loving carp. And
since that's
the photo that flashes in my head. Like, I can still see you in my head.
April, that is hilarious. That is so funny. Yeah, that was me.
You've done it to me. Yeah. Every time I go carp fishing, I'm like, I wonder if I can do that. I want to fish that big. I mean, I remember in my head, it was this huge carp. Is it as big as I remember?
Yeah, it was huge. It was like 20 odd pound. It was huge. And I think, you know, I remember that photo. I've got a few of them, but that one was, I know exactly the one you mean. God, that feels so long ago, but also like yesterday at the same time. It's like taking a trip down memory lane. It's a bit weird.
I'll have to post it. When I put this episode up, I might have to find that photo and dub it in.
Yes, do that.
So, because you kind of put coarse fish on my radar, because at the time, I think I had always associated the UK with salmon fishing and maybe some trout. And then when I had seen your carp photo,
I
started to learn more about coarse fish. And then I started to learn more about the history and how people who maybe don't have the funds to go for salmon spent a lot of time going carp fishing and coarse fishing. So you really opened up a whole different avenue to my understanding of the history in
That's interesting. Fishing.
Yeah. So
let's fishing.
Talk about it for people who don't know.
Oh, 100%. So, I don't do it now. I haven't caught fish for years, and I was introduced to it by an ex-boyfriend, and we really enjoyed, you know, he would do it a lot more than me, but I enjoyed going out and spending, like, it was overnight on the bank in what they call a bivvy. So it's a tent, but they call it a bivvy. So it's called a bivvy. It's green. And you would camp up by a lakeside and fish for these huge fish, right? And I really, really enjoyed carp fishing, but it's just something that I've not done for years. A lot of the carp fisheries are like further down south from where I'm located in Northumberland. So it's not as easy accessible for me.
Yeah.
But I love it. And the other thing about coarse fishing in particular is actually a lot of fly anglers often start by going coarse fishing. Not for me, but a lot of anglers who are fly anglers, so your trout and your salmon, start by going coarse fishing. So, that's so interesting that you mentioned that. Goodness, because that was quite a long time ago. But I would do it again in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Put it on my radar because it was right when Facebook had really kicked off.
Oh, I know.
And so all of a sudden we could share photos and we were learning about each other from across the other side of the world. And
absolutely. Yeah. And I would look at your photos and you would look at mine. And isn't it scarily amazing how in many ways when you and I kicked off, there was no social media, like it wasn't a thing. And how important it is now.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it? For better or worse, it's definitely It's had, it's had its challenges, but it's also been amazing.
Oh, yes, absolutely. A lot of benefits and a lot of challenges. I completely agree with that.
But also being a woman in the sport, you know, and I'm sure it's the same for guys too, but to feel like you're so alone and then all of a sudden, overnight, the cover was lifted up and we all saw each other. It was like, oh, you're there and you're there. You're in Oregon, you're in Washington, you're up north in my own country. To be able to reach out to each other was, it was a pretty...
And we had like a, well, we have a community, don't we? Like we can reach out to each other. So like, you know, if you ever travel here, you reach out to me and we get something organized and vice versa.
Likewise,
and, you know, along with a lot of female and male anglers globally, it's just social media gave us that, which we didn't have really when we first started. I sound so old when I say that, don't I?
Look, it is what it is. Time flies. Time passes. But so what about when you started Fishing for Everyone? Did you battle any criticism with utilizing social media to build your platform?
There's always the odd comment, isn't there? You know, you get it, I get it. But I want to say like 99% of the stuff I received genuinely was positive. It was like this young girl, she was what, 17, 18, going into a very much male-dominated world and being respected, appreciated, helped, guided. I genuinely would say 99% of it's been positive for me, April, and I know I'm very lucky to have that. But I think, you know what, a lot of that, and you do this, well, you don't do it well, we're just who we are, but I think we're just ourselves, right? We don't pretend to be something we're not. And I think if you stay true to your own roots, then that's what comes across to people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that's why you haven't had that much controversy and I have, because I'm a little shit and you are wonderful and classy and just rubbish. So elegant.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Oh, I just literally, I'm just me. And I just think if you like me, great. If you don't, well, rubbish. It's a different... What am I trying to say? Well, you've been doing this a lot longer than me. You really put yourself out there, and that's an amazing, amazing thing to do. And I wholly respect you for that.
It's funny. I'm reading The Whole Brain Child right now. I'm always trying to read books on parenting. And I think it was 25. They say that you don't really get your brain and become an adult until you're basically in your mid-20s.
Right.
And I'm so mad. I mean, obviously we don't know this. And when we're in our 20s, we know everything. And I look back now at the fact that I was online and public in my 20s. And I probably, I probably shouldn't have been. I have a big mouth. I can control it more so now, but I am literally an Aries. If anyone's curious about zodiacs.
I'm Aries as well.
Are you an Aries?
Yeah.
What day?
Yeah. 31st of March. 31st of March.
Okay. See, I wouldn't pick you as a typical fiery Aries who just spouts off.
I can be fiery. Oh, I can be fiery. Well, I'm a bit more reserved than you.
Smarter than I am?
No,
for sure.
I just think first. Ew, that sounds awful. No, I don't mean it like that. I am 100% an Aries. You ask coward, I'm an Aries. I can get fiery, but it kind of takes me a while to get there. Whereas I think for you, you just blow.
Yeah. Or by the time that I get to that point, I've got something to say and nothing is holding me back. I can now, but in my 20s, I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
And if somebody told me, you know, if someone told me in my 20s that a photo on the internet stays on the internet or a story on the internet stays on the internet, it would have been, I think I would have gone at it differently. So anyway, it's just funny reading about our brains and how we don't really become adults till we're a little bit older. And so did anything happen in those first few years that you look back now and you cringe? Or have you just been able to really take it in stride and see it all as a learning experience?
I think, yes, the odd thing did happen when I look back. But I think, April, I was so young that, like, it happened. But what I learned from it, I've taken with me. And I thought, well, I'm never going to put myself in that position again. I feel like I learned early, like a bit like you, you know, because you put yourself out there young, right? And you're right what you say about when you put things out on the internet, you don't realise that 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, it'll still be there. But I think it was because, you know, look at social media, where we are now versus where we were when I was, say, 17, 18, you were a little bit older. The answer to that, yes, there is stuff that happened, but I learned so much from it that it's taken me forward to where I am now. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah, that makes sense. Are you the same? Do you feel that as well?
I call it falling forward. I fall on my face, but I've fallen forward, you know, and I pick myself up and I'm one step ahead.
And I think, like with anything, unless you make those errors, I don't think they're mistakes. I think unless you make errors, how do you learn? How do you grow? Like, I know it's a cliche, but how on earth do you ever learn, I'll not do that again. Well, I'll not say that again, right?
Totally.
I'll not approach something like that again.
And even then you take it so far as saying, you know, it extends into your parenting.
100%.
You can look at your daughter or your son and say, okay, no, whoa, hold on. I've done this. I know how
I've done this. This is what I would recommend, right? Yeah, or like advice and friends or family or, you know, whatever it may be. Yeah.
And mentorship for young women. So is that happening now? And we still have to get back to the life of Fishing for Everyone. So you started the club and you started to meet some wonderful women. What was the club?
Wonderful ladies.
Were you guiding? Yeah. Were you instructing? I think you had to get all your certification, didn't you?
Yeah. So to start with, we had a qualified coach who wasn't me, female, who would come and support with the events and basically run the day. We'd have a lovely lunch and then we'd have coffee at the end of the day. And it was really just like a lovely girly day. And then I became qualified and started doing a lot more. We'd meet once a month and the format would be very much the same, either a Saturday or a Sunday. Fish in the morning, break for lunch, fish in the afternoon, usually end with coffee, tea, cake, real British lady things. But you know what was good about it, April, was like you got lots of ladies together from lots of different backgrounds, from lots of different ages. We laughed on the bank, we cried on the bank, we shared memories, we shared thoughts, ideas, aspirations. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. COVID changed it, to be fair. So COVID, you know, you remember what it was like. So the club still exists, but we don't actually meet currently. Something I would like to change in the future.
Right. Okay. So it's still running.
It's still there. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's still there.
I know. Are just nonstop. Okay. So from a career stance, so you had Fishing for Everyone. Did you, so your certification, you went and got your, in the UK, is it also the FFF or your CCI?
Yeah. So I just became a UK level 2 assistant angling coach. So I could assist a coach. Then I became a level 1 coach. Then I became a level 2 coach. So you do the assistant coach first, then the full coach second. And then you can go on to like APGAI and all of those wonderful qualifications. I didn't do any of those. I just stopped at the level 2. Because fitting it in, April, it's just for me, life is so busy and trying to fit everything in is just crazy. So you never know what the future will bring, but right now I'm quite happy being a level 2 angling coach. So it's called UKCC.
Okay. And what is the organization? That's obviously not the Federation of Fly Fishers or International Federation, whatever they've changed it to. What is it called in the UK?
It's the Angling Trust. So it's, you'll have heard of the Angling Trust. The Angling Trust is a body that supports and, you know, what do? They protect and look after, you know, anglers, angling coaches, angling bodies, angling bits of water. But yeah, so it's the Angling Trust that I'm a member of. So I fall under their remit.
So is a coach different than an instructor, different than a guide?
Yes. So yes and no, it depends. I would call myself a coach, but some people call me an instructor as well. I wouldn't call myself a guide because you tend to find over here guides are people that are very experienced on, say, a certain stretch of river. They guide on that river. They know that river very well. But I tend to do more like things like introduce someone to fly fishing, so like casting, you know, teaching them the basics, how to set their rod up, how to, you know, read water, that sort of thing. So for me, what really gives me that buzz is getting new people into fishing. That's my thing. Do you know what I mean? Like seeing someone catch their first fish, whether it be a man, a woman, or a kid, not bothered. Just that feeling's just wonderful.
Coach, really I love is. It. I have not announced Coach. This yet. So this is actually the first time I've announced this, but I am starting to guide again. Yeah, like all these years later.
Good, about time. Good.
Yes, in Australia. And it all started by mistake. I took a friend fishing and I forgot. I didn't realize how much I missed.
Right.
Step-by-stepping, talking, coaching.
Yeah.
And walking them through, you know, just the basic things that we do every day on the water with people who are learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel a little weird. So I've been putting in a bunch of time, obviously getting on the rivers, exploring my new fisheries down here. It's very different to Canada because I need to obviously know my water to some degree.
Yeah.
And, but I, at the end of the day, I feel a little weird calling myself a guide because I wasn't born and raised on these rivers, but you know what? That is going to be my new title. I am a coach. I'm going to be a coach. I'm not going to be a coach, but I'm going to be a coach.
I love that. That's nice. No, I like that. And I like it because I think coach is a very positive word, isn't it? It's like, I'm going to coach you to fly fish. I'm going to coach you through this. Like you say, you don't always have to be an expert on, for example, your river, but you know how to coach. You know how to teach April.
Yeah. Right? And I love it. I want to coach people so that they can get from this fishery to another. And I need to preface that for anyone listening. I'm only doing this one day a week, so I don't want to get myself in trouble or anything. But
inundated. Coaching. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And it's that thing about when someone catches, in fact, you know what? No, it's not. It's not even when someone catches their first fish. It's when someone can cast an overhead cast and they just get it right. Their little, you know, their little smile and, you know, they're just like, yeah, I felt it, Lucy. I've done it. I've done it right. They just know.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful. It really is.
And that's exactly right. When I took Amanda out not that long ago, the whole thing, watching her concentrate. And then when she's the one who got me back into this and went, you know, not fishing, but coaching.
Well
and
done. Yeah.
When the fly actually lands and it lands in the spot and then the fish looks up, it doesn't, you know, she didn't even need to catch a fish for it to really click.
So 100%.
So you're still coaching then?
Yes, I'm still coaching. I've not done a lot this year because obviously my dad's been very ill and unfortunately we did lose him a couple of months ago, which has been an awful, awful experience. But, you know, we've got wonderful memories and I'm very lucky to have those. And I'm not going to dwell on that because I will cry and we don't need everyone to see me cry. But next year I will do a lot more fishing and a lot more coaching because even my fishing, to be honest, has been very limited this year as well. Priorities change, don't they, April?
Oh, 100%. You know, especially with family like that. I didn't, you know, I didn't want to put you in this position, but I did know that. And I'm really, really sorry about what do you even say when someone's lost?
You can't say anything, can you? You can't say anything. And you know what? Like some days are better than others. Like today's okay. Today's an okay day. Christmas is going to be a big milestone on Monday. I know, right? But we're a very close family. Got my niece who's actually two on my birthday coming up. So March 31st. So she'll be entertainment. And Howard's amazing. You know Howard, he's just my rock. So yeah, I think it's, you know what, without dwelling on it, but when trauma, you know, comes along, you lose someone, that's when you realize who's really there, April, and who you can really rely on. So yeah, family's very, very important for sure.
Tough. Is your mom okay? Is your mom around? Is your mom okay?
She's okay. Same as April and I, up and down. But yeah, she's all right. It's just this big milestone on Monday, isn't it? Christmas Day. Just a very different Christmas to previous Christmases. We've always been together. Again, you know, one of the great things about being a close family in terms of location as well. But yeah, it's going to be hard. I'm also aware that I'm not the only person as well who's grieving, you know, and at Christmas, and send my love to everybody out there listening who's in the similar boat, because it's damn hard.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
So job-wise, you're at Orbis. You were at Orbis, and then you got headhunted to Hardy. Let's talk about that time in your life. So did you get a phone call? How did it work?
I think it was a phone call. Gosh, it was so long ago. It was a phone call. It was from Richard Sanderson, who was at the time the manager director of Hardy and Grace. And he invited me in for a chat. Well, I'll be honest, I went in and I don't know if it was because I was young or just inexperienced. But I remember going in really casually dressed, like, hadn't really made an effort because I didn't really know what I was going into. Never, ever, ever thought it would be, we've got this position coming along, would you be? I never thought that. I was like, I was 19 when I joined Hardy and Grace, April, so, you know, didn't have a clue. And I went in and I remember going into his office and I think we had a cup of tea and we had a chat and he just explained that he had this PR position coming up and that the PR at the time was being led, managed by an agency, but they were looking to bring it in-house as someone part of the wider marketing team would take it on. Was I interested? And I remember saying to him, like, I have no qualifications in PR and marketing at all. Like, at this time, April, I was like, GCSEs, like, school, right? A-levels, school. And then I just set up Fishing for Everyone and went to Orbis, and I was like, I'm not qualified in this. And he's like, yeah, but what you do for yourself. And I said, oh, well, I guess so. But I'm 19 at this point. I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm just doing what I enjoy and just being me. And just, he said, but you're everywhere, Lucy. Like, you're in magazines, like, you've been on national television. Like, a lot of people now know your name in the industry. And I was like, oh, right. Okay. It's just scary, but right. And I thought, you know, obviously went away with this, you know, job offer and discussed it with my parents of Queen's. And I was one of, I think it was like 12 men in an office. And there was me, like at 19. I remember thinking, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? But they were lovely. They were so, so nice, April, all of them. And yeah, I never looked back. I really enjoyed it. I just felt like they took me under their wing and just looked after me. So I brought all of the PR away from the agency and brought it inside Hardy and Grace and then basically ran the PR department and helped the marketing team. And yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize you did all of that. So
yeah, it was fab.
What about Howard? Was he working there at the time?
Yes. So Howard was working there. So Howard was, he's always been on the product team. So I've always been on the marketing team. I can't quite remember his position or anything like that. But yeah, we worked alongside each other. But Howard and I met before I joined Hardy's. So everyone thinks we met at Hardy's. We didn't. We met when I was like really young. Yeah, like, and we just became friends. We genuinely were just friends. There was never any sparks. We were just friends. And then obviously we became colleagues. And we worked together for under 10 years. And it was really only that last year when we got together. So that's crazy, isn't it? It's mad.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh. Absolutely. Fun romance. Mad.
Yeah.
A little bit of romance. Yeah.
So he was, I know. So he was, he was actually the shop at the front of Hardy's. You've never been, have you? No. We used to have a shop at the front of the building, a Complete Angler. So it was a beautiful shop. And he was the store manager of that shop years ago. And I actually met him as an angler. I went in with Dad one Saturday for some bits and pieces and met him then. So, but everyone thinks we met while we were working together, and we didn't. It's a cute story though, if we did, but yeah, we didn't.
So how long have you guys been together now then?
Crikey. I think it's 8 years. I know I should know this. I think it's 8 years in 2024.
Okay. So you guys got married, and where are you working now?
So I work for a company called the Farlow's Group.
Oh, you work for Farlow's?
Yes. You've heard of them. Oh my gosh.
Of course. Of course. But for people who haven't. Yep. Let's talk about it for people who have not.
Oh, you have heard of them. Right. So I work for the Farlow's Group, who own two brands. So one is Farlow's, one is Sportfish. So Farlow's is based in central London. This beautiful store. I was there a couple of weeks ago. It was an old bank, and it is beautiful. It's all high ceilings and cornices and just, oh, gorgeous. And underneath, okay, customers can't go into this space, but underneath is sort of all the old vaults, would you call them vaults, with like the big doors where they used to keep all the money. And ooh, it's beautiful. Cool. It's where our offices are. It's cool. So I work for them. They're a fishing and a shooting company. And
quite high end, right? If I recall.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got some gorgeous brands in there. Yeah, it's stunning. And Sportfish is it's a fishing only brand. And they also have a fishery as well. So they do a lot of mail order. Farlow's just mail order as well. We both, you know, have websites for both brands. But Sportfish has two stores. One is in Herefordshire. You'll not have a clue where that is. Basically all down south, and Wimperton, which is down south as well. So kind of where London is, they're over to the west of London.
Right. So wait, so you're still working in fishing. And then what are you doing there? Are you doing PR as well?
So I work in marketing.
In marketing,
so I work
okay.
in the marketing team. Yeah. And I love it. And they're really like proactive in getting more people into the sport. We've just done a host of videos. I don't know if you've seen them, but we did some casting videos led by myself and a couple of the other guys to teach people how to fish. You know, maybe those that can't or don't want to take one-to-one lessons can watch videos. And we've tried to keep them as easy and simple as possible. We do lots of different things to get more people into the sport. And I love that. They're really forward thinking. And that's right. Just wonderful for me.
Are these
it's very
videos,
inspiring.
Are these videos on their website or on their social?
Yeah, they're on sportfish.co.uk. So they'll be also on their YouTube channel, Facebook page, but they're on my Facebook page as well, April. So have a look at mine, but they're on there. So yeah, I'm really proud of those. We just did those the back end of this year. So yeah.
We'll look those up. Now, talk to me about fishing in England and even just the perception of fishing in England. It feels like it's so classy. And I mean, from Farlow's to Hardy to the beautiful rivers and the gillies and their outfits, it just feels very classy.
Yeah.
Am I seeing this through, what do they call it, like rose-colored
rose-tinted glasses? No, yeah. It is. It's beautiful. I am not a salmon angler. I don't profess to be a salmon angler. I've dabbled, don't get me wrong. But for me, every single time, it comes down to time. You know, I mentioned this earlier. I just don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. But I do a lot of still water trout fishing. Do you know what that is or no?
Still water, yeah.
Don't you?
Don't you guys call them buzzer fishing? Or I guess
buzzer
it could be
fishing
any
is
part
any
of still
type,
water fishing.
Yeah, if, yeah. Yes, absolutely. But no, going back to the, you're right. So you need to come over and experience this. You need to put this on the list. Mm-hmm. And I don't think roast glasses is right. I think just you need to come over and experience it. But it is It is. I mean, we have some beautiful rivers, some beautiful still waters. For me, I'm a trout angler through and through April. I love everything about trout fishing, probably because it's what I started with. It's what my dad introduced me to. And I really enjoy it. That's my passion. But you need to come over and try this. Absolutely. Yeah.
But stillwater fishing, typically, because we do a lot of stillwater fishing in Canada, we use prams and boats and are not typically wading on shore to fish. Is that what you're doing there?
So stillwater for me is either on the boat, absolutely, or wading or on the bank. So it sounds pretty similar to what you've got going on over there. But it just depends, you know, where I'm fishing, time of year, who I'm fishing with sometimes as to what they like to do. Dad and I used to always love getting on the boat and going fishing. And I actually managed to take him out in, was it May? Yeah, it was May. I got him out for his birthday and that was a really good day. So yeah, there's a bit of a mixture for still water. Yeah.
What's hatching there? Do you guys still have the chironomids, the caddis, mayflies?
Yeah. All of that doesn't change. Yeah.
So Charles loves England and he's been there a number of times. He loves it. And I am going to look horrible here. Don't judge me, but he really wants us to go to England. And I've been the one in the family saying, nope, I have no interest. Okay, I don't want to go. Change my mind. So if I were to go and land in, what's the big airport there?
Heathrow?
Sure.
London, Heathrow?
Yeah. So we go to London and we do all the typical London city
sightseeing. Yes.
What could I then pad out the rest of my week to do with, you know, limited resources, maybe a young family? What could we go and do? Is it easy to rent a car? Where would you recommend we go?
Yes, you can rent a car absolutely from London. But you know, the first thing I'm going to say to you, April, is you go to the Farlow store and you speak to the guys there about if it's fishing you come, because Charles fishes, right? He goes fishing.
Oh, yeah, we met fishing, yep.
I was going to say, yeah, you did, yeah. So you go there and you ask them for their advice in terms of, I mean, you'd need to speak to them ahead of rather than just rock it up, but you'd speak to them ahead of, and they would be able to help and guide you as to the type of fishing you want to do and where you would go in the UK. I think if you're coming from Australia or Canada, then you must go to Scotland. I think that's a must. I think you should Scotland, potentially Hampshire area, sort of the River Tess, but it just kind of, I think what we need to understand is the type of fishing you'd like to do. Obviously, I'm mainly a still water fishing girl, so I can give you loads of recommendations on still water, but I know you're a big river lady, so Scotland and potentially Hampshire as well. But so the boys will be able to help you in Farlows.
Thank you, Farlows. What about access points? So in Canada, and I believe that because we're both crown countries.
Yes.
And so is Australia. Canada, England, Australia are all crown.
Australia.
Countries. How does it work with access? In Canada, we've got crown water, crown land, right? And so even though you can privately own property, you don't own up to the high water mark. That's public. And there are public access ways in and around the public land. It's very different to America. So what about in England? Is it like that? Does the Queen own everything? Or
yeah, so with the rivers, there's bits of the river that will be, I think they call it byland. I think that's the term they use, which is like public land. So like no one owns it specifically, but then there's other areas of the river that a landowner or a fishing club would own. So you'd need to get access from the landowner or the club or whoever it may be who owns the land, you know, permission to fish there. The other thing is, I've never fished in Australia or Canada, but do you guys have licenses over there? So you need to get a fishing license as well to fish over here. Not Scotland, but England, Wales, etc.
You don't need a license to fish in Scotland?
No, they don't have licenses in Scotland. Yeah.
Do they have a lot of public access?
Yeah, they have a fair amount, yes, but I believe a lot of the what they would call good water is private.
Yeah.
So you'd need to get permission, probably a bit like you at home. Mm-hmm. I would imagine very, very similar. Yeah.
But
absolutely.
So you, well, it's more private water here, I find, and more private access here in Australia than it is in Canada. But you're saying you guys don't call it Crown Land?
They might call it Crown Land, April, but I know it's just public land. I'm sure they call it byland over here. That's something I need to look up. But byland, I believe it's byland, yeah.
Right.
I've not heard of it as Crown Land.
And yet here we
it
are
It sounds
in
like
Canada,
the same thing. Fine.
It's
yeah.
Well, Crown Land
make
is,
a note of that.
Crown Land is not public land. Crown Land is not private land. Crown Land is public land.
Public.
Well, no.
I'm going to look
well,
that
it's,
up.
Well, it's owned by the Queen. And I remember all of this. So fun story.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to throw myself down this path, but here we go. I'll get myself in trouble. So when I was younger, I was fishing the Chilliwack River, and I knew full well Crown Land. I was allowed access to the high watermark on Crown Land. And even though I may be fishing in front of someone's house, as long as I was at the high watermark or below, I was on Crown Land and I was well within my right to be there. And me being like I said, the lippy little shit that I was, when somebody would come out and, you know, chip me, and it was all dependent on how they approached me. But if they were quite aggressive with me, I would make my stance that I was on Crown Land. I was not trespassing.
Crown Land, yes. Understood.
So in my teens, this guy came. Oh, I would have been, maybe I was 20 because I had just started at the casino. I was 20 or 21. Anyway, these guys are having a barbecue on the property, on this particular property on the Vedder River. I guess it was above the bridge. It's Chilliwack River. Doesn't matter. So these guys come out and they're like, "You're trespassing. You need to get off the river." I said, you know me, there's like eight big guys. No, I'm well within my right to be here. High watermark, blah, blah, blah. And these guys are the Hell's Angels. They've got, which is a big gang in Canada.
Yes.
And I know they're Hell's Angels because they've got signage all along the property saying that they're basic. And I don't know why the HA would do this, or maybe they were affiliates, but they were calling themselves the HA. And so, and they were actually quite lovely. And I think they were enjoying taking the piss out of me, but they were adamant that I was trespassing.
Were you by yourself?
I had a friend with me, which is why it was scary. I feel like if I was actually by myself, it probably would have been okay. But because I had a young guy with, and I think Aaron at the time, I think he was like 16, he was younger than I was. Okay. And I just felt a little bit bad for him because he was obviously young kid. Anyway, and this guy, while he's enjoying telling me that I'm trespassing, has told me that this is the only property on the river that is actually deeded or grandfather clause. This is the first time I heard grandfather clause to the middle of the river. And so I was actually trespassing. I didn't believe him, of course. And then, I think it ended with him saying, "You're quite spunky." And I was like, "I've just worked all night at the casino. I'm exhausted. I come out here to fish and I get harassed. Like, can I not
catch to chill?" Yeah.
And then he was like, "Oh, you work at the casino? Do you like?" And I was like, "Yeah, she's my good friend." And then he's like, "That's my sister."
Good.
And then so the whole was fine. Yes. And I was granted access. But I did go home and call the Chilliwack office. And found out that they were right. They actually, it was grandfather clause property that they did own to the middle of the river, which is very strange.
So Canada, then you should have been there. Yeah.
And look, I would have no idea.
No.
I think if they had signs instead of saying HA.
Yeah, why didn't they just have a sign?
Excuse me, I'm joking. Right. And they had just said signs that said, "Look, legally, you're not allowed to be here." It probably would have gone over better. But in Canada, it gets, so you can own to the middle, but it's grandfather clause, and then there's Crown Land, and then there's easements and access ways. It gets very confusing. And that's just in British Columbia. So as you go farther over east to Nova Scotia, which is New Scotland, or New Brunswick, or any of the kind of Atlantic salmon fisheries, or Quebec even, it gets really finicky with owning water. And it's more like in the UK where the clubs can own it. You've got to pay your annual membership fee. And
absolutely. Yes. And you see, there's still water fishing that I do, April. You don't have any of that, right?
Right.
So you turn up, you pay your fees and you go fishing. You know, you don't have any of that concern over, am I fishing in, you know, a place where I shouldn't be fishing? Yeah. It's very clear. It's completely different. But, oh gosh, I wouldn't have liked that. They needed some signs to say this stretch is, yeah, like out of use type thing. Do you know what I mean? Not permitted.
That's exactly right. I think if they had had a printout from the council website or from the government website, yeah, it probably would have gone over better. But
absolutely. Oh gosh. I can just imagine you having that conversation.
Oh,
with
so puffed out. I remember just standing there down on the river looking up. So what about you? Did you get adventurous? Did you have a wild time in your career? I mean, we're both still young, but did you have any real wild moments?
I don't feel young. Well, I do, but I don't. I think, oh gosh. Did I have any wild moments? I don't think I did. No, I think I've been boring. I think I've been boring in comparison to you.
No, I'm not saying it's awful. I'm not saying it's a good thing.
I don't think I've been wild, April. I mean, feel free. If you think differently, please do tell me. But I think I've been quite straight. I've always sort of, I never chose fishing, you know, as a career. Like this was never anything that I chose to do. It just kind of happened and I fell in love with it. And I did leave the industry for five years.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I left in between 10 years at Hardy and where I am now, just to understand basically a different industry. I actually went into fashion. So I went from fishing to fashion.
I love it.
All right. Still in marketing.
Were you with Hunter?
Do you know Barber, the wax jacket company?
You'll know Barber. Yeah, but I don't own Barber, but yeah.
You know the one I mean, though, the wax, beautiful wax jacket brand. They do lots of different clothing, but, you know, they're well known certainly by Americans and Canadians for their wax jackets. So I went there and I really enjoyed it. And it was just, I think for me, just a different industry. Just I'd done nearly 10 years in fishing and I was 29 and I was like, right, you know, let's try something new, something different. And I really enjoyed it. But I came back. I've come back.
Why did you come back?
Because I missed it. I missed it. And it's like you, it's in your blood, isn't it? It's just, we love talking about it. We love breathing it. We just were passionate about it. And I think it's that old cliche about if you enjoy what you do, then it's not work. And it doesn't feel like work because I genuinely enjoy it. And I hope that radiates across. I think it does. But it was never something I mapped out to do. I never sort of at 17, 18 went, right, I want to be in the fishing industry forever. Didn't. Well, I actually wanted to be a teacher, would you believe?
Well,
or a beautician.
Are a teacher. I think between Fishing for Everyone and your stint with fashion, I feel like you kind of merged all of that together. But
I know.
That segues me perfectly into one of my last questions to you, and that's about self-promotion. You have and had both, present and past, all of the qualities to have really pushed yourself ahead. You're talented, you're young, you're smart, beautiful. You knew the right people. You had and have, I want to make that very clear, the ability to push yourself and propel yourself ahead as a business in itself, right? Like so many of us and other men and women have done.
Yeah.
Did you try to do that, or did you make the conscious effort not to turn yourself into an influencer or a traveling consultant or, you know, any of the other career paths that so many people take?
So I'm qualified in marketing, right? I am a qualified marketeer.
Exactly.
And I really enjoy that. Like I genuinely, I was able to take that out of the fish and tackle industry and into fashion and then back. And it's that thing about I could take that to any industry. And I genuinely enjoy the marketing side as much as the fishing side. And I know what you're saying, but I don't know, maybe it's the way I am in terms of, I said this to you right at the start, I'm not the best self-promoter of myself. People think I am. People think I am, but I'm not. And I think I just really enjoy what I'm doing, that nice mix between working in the industry, being an angling coach, but also within that, within both of those elements, introducing more people into the sport. I think that's my niche. Do a lot of charity work as well, April, so that kind of all wraps up in itself. I don't know if that's really answered your question particularly, but that's sort of where I see myself being. Does that make sense?
It does, and I'm going to push a little more. So did you ever see yourself being a proper, I mean, obviously you would have seen me self-promoting. You would have seen the criticism from me self-promoting. Yeah. Was there any part of you that was like, okay, I want to do that? Or was there part of you that, just to be totally frank, thought, holy hell, I'm not doing that. I'm not comfortable doing that.
I don't know if I ever thought about it particularly. It's really weird that you bring that up, because there is a chap I know who I actually used to work with who said similar to me a few years ago. And it is that thing about you could and you would and you should. I don't know if it ever sort of crossed my mind, because I think there's a few things in that. But I think if you open yourself up to all of that, then you've got to be ready for the criticism and the negative stuff that comes with it, and you need to be able to say, right, I'm not going to let that bother me or affect me. And it hasn't really happened to me. Like, it certainly sadly has happened to you, but I don't know if that's for me. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. Like, loud and clear makes sense. Yeah,
because it's hard, isn't it? It's hard when you get that criticism. And you know, sometimes you just try to do a good job at something and there's always someone there to speak negative.
To remind you that you're awful at what you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I always I did always wonder that about you, because I was very curious to see where you were going to, where you were going to go with it. So on that note, where are you going to go with it? What's the future plan?
I knew you were going to ask me that, April, and I have no idea. I'll be brutally honest with you right now. I don't know, right? I'll go back to this thing about this year has been really challenging, and it's opened my eyes in terms of what I do want out of my life and also what I don't, because it's made me realise that life is incredibly short. And I think I'm in this period right now of not making any rash decisions, because that would not be good for me, and just absorbing where things are now and almost kind of trying to find a new normal in life, because so much has changed from where I was 12 months ago. So I can't answer your question, but I think finding a new normal for me right now is important. Ask me again in 6 months' time or a year's time, and I'll maybe be able to answer that better. But right now, it's the new normal, trying to adjust.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. It makes perfect sense. And
yeah,
I think you're about to go through a major transition. I mean, there's a lot happening. Yeah, absolutely. Well, for starters, you're an Aries, and it's the year of Aries and Libra. So get ready. This is the year where everything changes.
Good.
But also, that whack job stuff aside, you've just had a major loss. You've just realized priorities. You're not yet 40. Just wait. I'm telling you, maybe it's just me, but at 40, I was like, okay, whoa, I get it now. I know exactly what I want and what I don't want. It was almost like overnight. I saw exactly what I wanted.
Okay. This is good. This is good to know.
I don't know if you guys have children in plans. Do you guys have children plans?
Hopefully.
Right? Okay. So I feel like this is such a pivotal time.
Okay.
Just like, and this is totally, forget the podcast. This is just girl to girl friend to friend talking to you here.
Okay.
This will be the next few years, in my opinion. Not okay. like I know that much, but I just feel like you might have some interesting transitioning happening in your life.
Oh, it's like Mystic Meg. April, I feel like you're like predicting something really excited. I feel like I could do, I feel like I need something positive and yeah, transitional and change. Change would be, yeah. It's like adjusting to the new normal, but maybe some positive stuff coming as well.
Yeah, I think you're in for a real treat because you're different now. Every season of our lives were different, right? And so you've just had a major loss and you've changed. You look at your husband differently, I'm sure. I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah, you do.
Basically newlyweds. There's all of this.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting few years. I'd be curious to touch base in a few years. I know 6 months would be, we'll personally touch base for sure, but I'd be curious to re-record even in 10 years and catch the story 10 years later.
We should do that. We should absolutely do that.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Because like this conversation is obviously, as you quite rightly say, coming to the end of a really tough, personally challenging year. And it does affect every part of who you are and what you are and what, you know, how you see things and how you actually see yourself. Like, for example, I didn't realize how strong I am. I think I'm a lot stronger than I ever thought I was. You know, bearing in mind my dad was my best friend as well as my dad. That's huge.
Yeah.
10 years time, April, could be interesting. So I'll be 46. You'll be 50.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, that's exciting. Gosh, wow, 46. Wow. Yeah, no, we should do that. Definitely.
All right. We'll do
a date.
We'll have a date. Is there anything that you would like to add or to ask me before we wrap it up today?
I think the first thing is just to say, I'm so pleased we were able to talk at last. Like, it's been far too long. It's been ridiculous. You know, you've always been a role model for me. You know this. I've told you this many times. You know, you and I do. We don't stay in touch regularly, but I know where you are and you know where I am. I never know when I'm going to see you, which is always lovely. You know, as in like shows and things, you know, they'll just pop up, which is nice.
Yep.
I think the only other thing I'd like to sort of maybe mention is I do a lot of work with a charity, April. That would be quite nice if you don't mind if I mention that.
Do. Yeah, yeah.
The charity is called Fishing for Heroes. So the charity itself is all about supporting ex-military veterans suffering largely from PTSD, so post-traumatic stress disorder, by taking them fishing and helping them to, you know, recuperate and relax and switch off from the trauma that they've been through. So I am one of the Northern coaches for the charity. Coach, again, it's a good word.
Yeah.
And we meet kind of once a month and we go fishing. And I've made some wonderful friends, lost some wonderful friends, but shared some fantastic memories with them. And I'm losing my voice all of a sudden, which is very strange. But yeah, Fishing for Heroes is just a wonderful part of who I am. And it's that thing about giving back, I think, is important to me.
Why did you go that route? I think it's wonderful. How did that all fall into place?
I met them. I was fishing one day about 10 years ago. I met them. A host of veterans, club outing on a water, and got chatting to a few of them. And thought I'd like to get involved with this. You know, I just really enjoyed their company. I've got family who are ex-military, you know, going back generations. There's, I think most people have got that, but, you know, there's the military side in the family. And I started doing fundraisers for them, actually. So I did fishing competitions to raise money for the charity. And then I started to get involved from a coach perspective. But again, that's going back 10 years. It's a long time to be working with them. But I just really enjoy spending time with them and giving a bit back. Yeah.
Oh, you're just such a bright light. Honestly, I know that right now it's the end of a crazy year and you're probably feeling, you might be feeling a little bit
Yeah.
Not so shiny, but I'm telling you right now, you are such a bright light and you always have been. I always think about you. There's this really small group of women I think about when I think about kind of my real start into networking and getting to know all you guys. It was you, Lacey, obviously my girlfriend, Adrian. There are a few of you guys, but I think about you all the time. It's so, like you said, we don't chat often, but you're always in my mind.
Yeah, that's nice to know, April. And vice versa, when I talk about ladies in the sport, gotta mention you. You've been doing great things forever. And, you know, and women should stand by women as well. That's really important, isn't it? You know, I'm all for promoting ladies in our industry and guys too. You know, I'm not a feminist, absolutely not. But there's just so few of us that it's important to fly the flag. It really is.
Well, I'm so happy we got you on here. I'll wrap it up. What time is it there? Is it 8:21 or is it 9:21?
8:21 at night. Yes. So it's been a busy day at work. So really enjoy talking to you. And you're like 12 hours in front of me, 11 hours in front of me, aren't you? Or 7:20 in the morning, right?
7:20 a.m. Yeah.
Need good coffee.
Start to a good day. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we will hopefully see each other soon.
Thank you so much, April. Merry Christmas.
You too. And that concludes this episode of Anchored. Thank you for listening.
You want to succeed. You want to fish. You want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.